Have you told the story this week? Have you told somebody about it this week? Christmas is always an exciting time. Some of the kids are excited. The kids and Ken are excited about getting that bag outside and seeing what's inside it. You've heard the little cliche, if you give somebody an inch, they'll take a mile. Can I have just a couple minutes of your attention this morning? Just a couple minutes of your attention this morning. I'll try not to take an hour. Actually, it won't be difficult not taking an hour. We're 2,000 some years away from the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. When we think about that many years, we probably really need to stop and think about it. Because a passing thought, we just don't realize 2,000 years is a long time. Have you ever thought about living that long? My dad just turned 70 yesterday. Actually, 10 minutes till midnight last night is when he turned 70. For myself, when I stop and think about 70, for my dad, makes me wonder how long we'll have dad. But 2,000 years is a long time. A lot of changes take place in 2,000-year span. About 1,600 years ago, a man by the name of St. Gregory of Nazianza, I don't know that anybody here ever met him, I don't think you've ever heard of him. But he preached a sermon on Christmas Sunday, Christmas Day, I believe is what it was. And I'd like to share a few of the thoughts that he gave 1,600 and some years ago. So when you think about that, it's 1,600 some years, that's, 300-400 years after Christ. I wonder what differences were experienced in that short period of time. What could they say? What were they preaching about in that period of time? This is how he began. Christ is born. Glorify him. Christ from heaven. Go out to meet him. Christ on earth, be exalted. Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth, and that I may join both in one word. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad for him who is of heaven and then of earth. Christ in the flesh, rejoicing with trembling and with joy. With trembling because of your sins, with joy because of your hope. Does Christmas bring us hope? Does Christmas cause us to tremble? Thinking about our humanity, thinking about the frailty of our composition, of who we are, of what we are made, should cause us to tremble. You say, well, I haven't sinned. Well, let's be careful on that one. Make sure that we understand that your sin is past. But still focus and remember from whence I have been dug. Trembling because of sin, but rejoicing because of the hope that he gives. He does provide hope. Christmas provides us hope. This celebration of the Christ child gives us a hope beyond all compare. For without the Christ child, where would you and I be? A little bit later in his message, his sermon, he went on to say, let John cry, prepare the way of the Lord. I too will cry the power of this day. He who is not carnal is incarnate. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let the Jews be offended. Let the Greeks deride. Let heretics talk until their tongues ache. Then shall they believe when they see him ascending into heaven. If not then, yet when they see him coming out of heaven, sitting as a judge. I was a little surprised, I guess, at his insertion of the ascension. We're so far removed, we don't think too much about the ascension and the power that was prevalent, that was visible at that point in time. The power of his ascension would have in his mind brought about an awakening to the heart. But surely, the power of his coming when he returns as judge will open every eye and bow every knee. Are we worshiping him this morning? Do we feel his power this morning? Do we see him as the ascended Savior? He said this as well. This is our present festival. Festival. This is a festive time, isn't it? The beautiful lights, the trees, the garlands, all about the decorations. It's a lovely thing to drive on the highways or the country roads at Christmas time and just view all the beautiful festive lights. He said, this is our present festival. It is this which we are celebrating today, the coming of God to man, that we might go forth, that putting off of the old man, we might put on the new. And that we... Or that as we died in Adam, so we might live in Christ. Being born with Christ and crucified with him and buried with him and rising with him. All being made possible because the Son of God became the Son of Man. He concluded his sermon 1600 and some years ago with these thoughts. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And if a taste condemn us, how much more does the passion of Christ justify us? Adam tasting that forbidden fruit, causing condemnation to come upon all of us, how much more does the passion of Christ justify us? Therefore, let us keep the feast. We like those words, don't we? Let us keep the feast. Not after the manner of the heathen festival, but after a godly sort. Not after the way of the world, but in a fashion above the world. Not as our own, but as belonging to him, our master. Fitting words for 2012. I believe all of it. Relevant at his time, relevant in our time. We can keep the festivities on the level of the world, or we can rise above it and keep the festivities as though we are not our own, that we belong to someone else, that we have a master, a savior. I suppose that if we were able to calculate it this morning, we would be in the thousands of dollars that have been spent on gifts from this congregation of people. It might be startling for us to see that figure of how much money has been spent out of this congregation of people on gifts. It might be staggering for us to be able to calculate and see a number of how many miles are traveled in direct relationship to this season. How many miles are traveled to and from stores purchasing all of these gifts. I realize that the miles are drastically reduced because of online shopping, and sometimes that is a tremendous blessing. But still, how many miles are traveled directly related to this season of the year? Visiting family. We might be a little surprised at how many miles are represented here this morning of people who have traveled this direction to be with family. Josh and Rhoda are in from Illinois. Mylon and Ashley are down from Shelbyville. Brady and Michelle are down from Frankfurt. We have some, you know, I don't know how far we want to go with Byron and Lauren. They're kind of away from home, but not away from home. But there's miles traveled to get them back here. Daryl and Hannah, the miles that they've traveled. Am I missing some scattered around here? Miles that are traveled to get to where we are going for the holiday season or the Christmas Day celebration. A lot of miles stack up. And it's all a wonderful thing, isn't it? We enjoy it. People enjoy it. Especially moms and dads enjoy it when their children are away and they come home. It's a great time. Parents love that part. Are you thinking about how many miles and how many dollars are spent? We spend a measure of time spreading Christmas cheer. I'm talking about Christmas cheer. A number of the church went caroling at the nursing home last Monday evening. There was about 40 voices singing up front, and there was a few more singing with us from, you know, hidden among the stuff, as it were. But there was 40 people up front. That's a good number. Spreading Christmas cheer. And Faye's out there just bubbling with excitement as she's having the children pass out the little gifts that have been purchased for the residents. And to see the joy come over their face, the excitement that comes to them as they receive these gifts. Spreading Christmas cheer. Friday evening, less number of people, but still a fairly decent number. I think we had 29 voices singing Friday evening as we went around the community. Some people must have heard we were coming and they weren't home. Or maybe they just didn't answer the door. But then there was one door that we knocked at and sang to, gave the little package of cookies, that she wept. She actually cried. She sent a text sometime later and said that she was still crying because of spreading Christmas cheer. Such a small measure, such a small thing. And yet it was a big thing to that person. We spend a measure of time spreading Christmas cheer. As a matter of fact, we might even give an extra dollar or two to help somebody who's in need. Maybe you walking in or out of Walmart or Sam's Club or some other store, and the little red bells ringing and the little red kettles hanging on its hook, and somebody maybe standing there singing or just saying Merry Christmas to those that pass by, and you put in your leftover change into the little red Salvation Army kettle. Maybe you reached in and got extra change or extra dollars and put in. You know, we can give an extra dollar or two to help somebody in need during this great celebration of Christmas. But in the midst of all of that, the miles traveled, the dollars spent, the time spent giving Christmas cheer, the extension of our meager finances to help somebody else that's in need, in the midst of all of that, are we celebrating Christmas for him, or are we celebrating Christmas for me, for us? How can we tell the difference? What do we need to do to say that we are really celebrating Christmas for him? It's a hard question to answer. Perhaps I'm not the one to answer it because I'm not in your shoes. I'm not in your place. I don't know what your life is really all about. Maybe I'm the only one that can answer it for me, and you're the only one that can answer it for you. But if we are truly celebrating the reason or the season, should we not tell somebody of why we are celebrating? Oh, I told my kids, I'm going to read the story to my kids. As a matter of fact, they probably heard it two times in Sunday school this morning. If they were in Sunday school, they heard the story read up here, and then when they got to class, they probably read it again. All right, we're making progress. We got this down pat. You know, we do it so often that it doesn't take long for us that are brought up in the church to know the story by heart. We do it so much that our kids know it well. But what about somebody who does not know? Should we celebrate by telling somebody else of the reason that we celebrate? Or have we ourselves really forgotten the true reason? Not just simply the birth of Jesus. Well, you say that's the reason why we have Christmas. That's why we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus. That he came in the first place. That's the reason for Christmas. We read from Matthew's gospel, we read from Luke's gospel, we sing some songs that all talk about Christmas. But really, in the midst of this celebration, our heart needs to be, our mind must be drawn in a spirit of worship as much or more than what time and effort we put into celebration. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and allow us a few minutes here to refresh our mind as to why we should worship while we celebrate. The Old Testament writer here is giving us, painting for us the picture of why he came. We don't find any flowery words of the manger scene. We don't find anything grand about the picture that he's painting here, the shepherds on the hill, or the wise men coming from the east, or the star that led them, and the gifts that they gave, or the presentation. All of that is not found right here, but this, in this Old Testament prophetic passage, gives us the spirit of worship in the midst of the season. I suppose that the majority of you, if not all of you, have in front of you, or you are holding the King James translation of the Bible. I'm going to read to you, while you look at it from the King James, I'm going to read to you from the Amplified. Because it does paint us just a little more clear picture as to what is taking place. Isaiah chapter 53, and let's worship him together. Who has believed our report, our message, of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, royal, kingly pomp, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Let's just pause there for a moment, thinking about that little portion that is inserted here about him being stricken by God with leprosy. He's a cast off. He's somebody that is pushed aside, that is rejected, that is the lowest of society. That's the picture that Isaiah is painting of this Christ child that we celebrate with joy and exuberance because of the hope that he gives. Let's continue on. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. Made to light upon him, to fall upon him, the guilt and the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken to his death for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? And they assigned him a grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others, shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make righteous. For he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, the kings and the rulers, and he shall divide the spoil with the mighty, because he poured out his life unto death. And he let himself be regarded as a criminal and be numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore and took away the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, the rebellious. See, that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why Jesus came. Was to carry all of our sin, all of our transgression, all of our rebellion, to carry our punishment, the consequences of our guilt. the payment for sin was placed upon him so that we can have hope. While we celebrate, this celebration should be full of heart worship because of what he came to do for us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Joseph is in a dream and listening to the voice of the angel speak. The angel tells Joseph to call his name Jesus, and he gives them the reason why. For he shall save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 1 is the story of Mary's vision, Mary's experience with the angel. And what is taking place? And there's one little segment that seems to stand out as we look at the impossibilities that may surround us. For nothing is impossible with God, is what the angel told Mary. You see, Jesus came to give us hope. As we look for the Savior, as we need a Savior, Jesus also came to give us hope in the midst of the impossibilities of our lives. We have much to celebrate, but also we have much to worship Him for as well. Celebrate, give the gifts, spend time with family, but let's worship the Savior. Worship Him who came to give His life so that we have hope. Let's stand together this morning. Christ is born, St. Gregory said, glorify Him. Christ from heaven, go out to meet Him. Christ on earth, be exalted. Sing to the Lord. Rejoice with trembling and with joy. With trembling because of your sins, with joy because of your hope. Father, we thank you for the Christ child this morning. Thank you for this great time that we have to celebrate and as they said of old, and we would think of it in this day as well, the festivities of the season. Thank you for all the joy that comes in this time. But Father, we are also humbled today as we remember the reason why He came, to bring us hope. Not only a hope of the here and now, but also a hope of heaven. Not a hope where we beat like beating the air, but a reality within as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Bless each one that's here today, the family members that are represented, spreading the Christmas cheer through each one of their lives and their homes. But I pray, Father, that above and beyond, that you would also bless with your presence in each of our places of dwelling. Keep your hand upon us, the miles that are yet to be traveled from our congregation. Keep your hand upon each one, we pray. Bless us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed, and Merry Christmas.